Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to the Rad Reality Show Network. Let's get the show on the road.
It's live, the Rad Reality Show.
The winner of Survivor, Mike.
A blue collar pulled it out by doing just what you'd think a blue collar would do, digging in and getting dirty, and earned him $1 million. Mike, here's your check. Happy, happy, and get up $1 million.
Well, welcome to the show tonight. Our Thursday night Survivor show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Let's get the show on the road.
Welcome, Survivor fans. I'm Carrie Garcia, and this is the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight is May 21st, 2015, and we are so glad to have you with us tonight for this very special edition of Mike and the Mic. Tonight, our host, Big Mike Albright, will be live from L.A., where he's been attending all the Survivor Worlds Apart finale coverage, as well as the huge announcement of America's Choice Survivors, who are returning to the game they love so much. And I think it's going to be an incredible season 31 when the Survivor Second Chance players get out there and we get to see it on air and see all the survivors that we've been voting for back out there doing it all again. But for tonight, we aren't sure who our guests are going to be, but as always on the Rad Reality Show Network, we invite our listeners to call in and join us. So the number that you can do that at is 1-347-237-5506. Call in and join Big Mike Albright and the guests that he's got with him out in L.A. at the hotel where Survivor finale has just wrapped up, and he's still out there hanging out with the survivors. So I can't wait to talk to him. So let's play his intro and get our host up here.
They have volunteered to be marooned 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Big Mike. Big Mike, you're up.
Big Mike, welcome.
Hey, coming to you live from the Sheridan
Universal. It's Mike on the mic, and I'm here in the lobby of the Cast Hotel. And what an exciting finale for everyone at home, and an even more exciting finale here in L.A. and in Hollywood. So it's great. And our guests this evening, I have several friends of mine that are fellow super fans of the show that are going to be calling in and just, you know, giving in their two cents. There's a couple of people spread throughout the lobby who are at different viewing parties and after parties and have met all the cast as well, and we'll get their insights as well. So how are you two doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Paul, however, is having terrible, terrible technical difficulties. His computer has crashed, and he has now dropped off the switchboard as well. He was on the switchboard with me, and he has now dropped off the switchboard as well. So I'm kind of doing everything right now. And, but I'll hold down the ship, I promise.
No worries. I think for this episode, we'll explain kind of the stuff that happened from my arrival up through the finale. We can talk about that final show, and then we can also talk about the biggest part of the show was the second half of the reunion show, where the Second Chance folks came out, and then they ultimately found out if they were in or not. And as compelling TV as that was at home, it was even more shocking in the studio to kind of watch that live. As 20 people were extremely happy, and 12 people's hearts were broken. So
even imagine being there live with them. That had to be incredible.
It was, and there's some fun stuff that happened at the actual finale taping that we're going to talk about. And I guess I'm just going to go into, you know, my timetable this week of what's been happening. All of my friends that are from around the country, we all come in at different points in different ways, some exotic adventures to get to L.A. I've been here since last Saturday. One of the best flying experiences I've ever had. I had an aisle seat, no one sitting next to me, and it was a direct flight. And I don't think I've ever flown directly to L.A., so that was phenomenal. I got off, I was at the gate closest to the baggage claim, and then when I got my bag, it was right there. And I walked outside, and the shuttle to the hotel was right there. And for my buddy, it had taken him like 45 minutes. And I just walk out, and it's sitting right there. And then we proceeded to one hotel, then we switched hotels. And we're here at the Cast Hotel. We've been here, I think, three nights now. And through the first night, if you've never been to Universal City Walk, there's a shuttle that runs between the Universal Sheraton, the Universal Hilton, and City Walk. So we went to have dinner, several of my friends and I, and then we proceeded to take the shuttle back to the one hotel where the cast was staying because we were up the hill at the other hotel, and we saw outside Corinne Kaplan was there with her SUV, and Mike was there, Jen, Sierra, and Shireen. And it was like, wow, cool. So then we went back to our hotel, got some stuff together, and came down. And first night was pretty tricky. Second day was pretty tricky getting cast to come by. And then slowly and surely, the cast, we started interacting with them here in the lobby as their families and them came in to check in. And amazingly, and one thing we're going to talk about this show, I'm at a 180-degree flip on several players this season. I think if we would speak collectively, I think my two least favorite players for the season from the editor we saw were Will and Dan. And one of my favorites was Shireen. And my opinions on those people have definitely changed, for sure. But that's kind of the back end of what happened. And Tuesday night there was a party for the cast members and other alumni, and that was very well attended, and that's pretty much where the bulk of my autographs and interactions and pictures happened. And then yesterday the cast left for the show, and I wasn't even sure I had put in for seat fillers and hadn't heard anything before I left, hadn't heard anything Monday night, Tuesday, and I'm sitting in the lobby of the hotel, the cast had left, and my office manager said, checked your email, and you're a seat filler. So I found out yesterday I was going to go to the actual taping of the show, which was amazing and awesome, and the sixth time I've gotten to attend that. So, and then we watched the show, and I ended up not even being a seat filler when we went there to collect the tickets. They made us go to another area, and we actually had our own two seats, my friend and I, Tasha. So that was just a fun experience, and we watched the taping just like everyone else did. So that's kind of the background. And then the episode, I watched the episode live in the studio. I don't have my notes, but what were your reactions just at the very beginning? We were at the final five and that first, you know, the first little bit of the final episode.
I'm not sure exactly which part you're talking about.
Well, I was just saying they get back from the Dan vote and they're already, you know, trying to figure out things, Carolyn.
And they all walk down to the river, down to the ocean and leave Mike sitting there alone.
Mike's alone, the other four are plotting against him, and they're just, you know, talking strategy with, you know, what happened, and, you know, people were upset that Carolyn didn't let them know about the idol being played, or her idol, that she had it, and they all voted for her, and then the only people that didn't vote for her were her and Mike, and there became this faction of Mike and Carolyn, Rodney and Will, Mike and Carolyn, and Sierra was the swing vote.
I think Carolyn didn't get a good enough edit for the moves that she made. There was another instance where she could have gotten ticked off when she realized that she was, in fact, on the bottom of her alliance. And, you know, she could have gotten ticked off about the votes for her. She could have gotten ticked off about them coming to her, you know, saying, why didn't you tell me about the idol? When, in fact, she just got voted for by her entire alliance. And, you know, she kept a straight head. They did it, thank goodness, at least let her give her enough time and a cameo to sort of explain, you know, that she was keeping a level head because she realized that she needed them, but she was going to play, you know, on sort of Mike's team as well because she needed him as well. And she had a plan. You know, she was playing this game every moment.
Oh, yeah.
And she was always trying to keep a couple of steps ahead of the game. And she did it very well. I just don't think she got a fair edit out there. And I read one of her interviews after, it was only like 12 hours after all this went down. And one of the things that she said was, you know, there was a lot of very big personalities out there.
Yeah.
And perhaps if she had played a bigger game instead of being sort of more low key, maybe she would have gotten a better edit. But because she did play sort of low key, she got a much more low key edit. I think she was very surprised at the edit and that she didn't get voted back in.
Her and Tyler the entire time, I thought, were not developed very well just because the other personalities were so, you know, in your face and dynamic. And Carolyn was just slow and steady and just, I mean, everyone kind of ignored her, which is unfortunate.
I think she played a phenomenal game. The woman played a great, great game.
She played a great game and definitely different than some of the other people. But, you know, normally that might have been enough to get her to the end. But it was interesting. I liked how she united, even though everyone voted for her, you know, she was able to switch the focus back that it's the four of us versus Mike. And, you know, everyone fell into lockstep with that. Sierra, Will, and Rodney were all, that's our, we've got to eliminate We've got to eliminate Mike. And they did the little twist, like they did on Survivor Cagayan at Final Four, is the family visit happened in the final episode, which is always an interesting thing, especially when you're sitting in the lobby of a hotel and we've seen those family members already throughout the day and at parties. So it makes it even stranger to then see them on TV. And then last night, Mike was dancing with his mom, so it was cute to see after, you know, watching that episode and already seeing her in the lobby. So so Mike wins the advantage, and a pretty exciting challenge there that, you know, the you win this reward challenge, you get the advantage. So Mike and his mom got to spend 30 minutes at the second to last immunity challenge and got a huge advantage over everyone else. And I thought the edit made it sound like, you know, poor Mike was upset that his mom thought he was going to, you know, hurt him and that they'd hinder his game. But even with everyone working together in that challenge, he was able to prevail and win a fourth immunity and get in pretty prestigious company. What did you think of that challenge?
Okay. It was a great challenge.
Okay. Hey, Big Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Oh, I don't know when you came on, but I'm having all sorts of computer issues at showtime, which is never a good thing. But at the reward challenge, I mean, that was so huge. And there's been times when, not that many times, when we haven't seen loved ones come on to the show, but it was very emotional and enjoyable to see, you know, all the loved ones. I thought it was a little odd with Rodney and his dad. I mean, the bro thing, I thought, wait a minute, he's not his brother.
Yeah, I don't ever call my dad bro, so that was kind of interesting.
But that maze, I really, for what they showed us on the edit, it really looked like maybe his mom was not giving him, you know, a good advantage. It's a tough thing to go through, and some people can be good at helping out and some people aren't. And what we saw didn't seem like his mom was able to help him that much. But once it started, you could see that, I believe that that 30 minutes did help Mike out.
Yeah, that muscle memory and just getting the feel of how it felt and how the necklaces were hanging and where they were hanging and that, even though they didn't, tear it up, it seemed like that she did help him and they did figure out parts of it through it.
You know what I noticed, Mike, and then I have to leave here for a second off the air, but do you know what I noticed? The areas where the medallions were and the area where the immunity necklace was, it is an open area, and it looked like as soon as Mike got in an area where he would not feel a railing and it just opened up, he immediately knew, okay, I'm in an area where I can find something.
Yep. And the other ones were feeling around a lot more, like, watching every other exterior wall, but he knew when it opened up that certain way, that was going right to those necklaces, the north, south, east, and west necklaces.
I felt bad for Mike's mom that she really felt like she let him down.
Mm-hmm.
She felt like she didn't do well enough in guiding him through, his opportunity for the 30 minutes, that he had. And I'm sure it went by so quickly. And she really felt like she let him down. And she said, he will never tell you that, but I'm here to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I let him down.
Real quick, Rodney's in the lobby. He's checking out. Just that's how real this show is. That I just waved at Rodney and he waved back and he's over there checking out. I don't know what his timetable is. I think the cast is going to have a fun time in another city out here in the West. I won't really say too much about that, but Rodney's right in the lobby, so we may get him on for a second. We'll see. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great challenge. I've never seen them measure the water in that way. It was just an interesting way to measure 30 minutes, because the last time they did that kind of a challenge, they, you know, it was just they could stand there at the challenge for hours and hours, and it was just a way different to do it. But, Sherry, we've got an exclusive here. We have Rodney from Worlds Apart, so you can, I won't be able to actually ask him a question because I'm going to hand my cell phone and this awesome green phone I use to Rodney, and you can ask him some questions. Thanks, Rodney.
No problem.
It's Sherry, my co-host.
Sherry?
Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
I'm wonderful, Rodney. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Just checking out of the hotel and heading to go see a couple friends before I head off to Vegas.
I want to know, what was your first meal? What was the first meal that you got to eat once you got off of Survivor? What was the first thing that you were craving? Because you had hardly no food out there at all. What did you get to eat when you first got out of there?
Oh, I was craving sweets for some reason. I had a sweet tooth. I had a lot of donuts. I had a lot of Chinese food. I had pizza, chicken palm, stuffed hamburgers. I had a whole list I made out there. During the merge, we got the America tribe name, and Joe painted that painting, so we had leftover paint. So I learned how to paint with a nail, and on the back of one of the to read for what the immunity challenge is going to be, I used that as paper, and I wrote down all the food I wanted to eat when I got back home.
Oh, cool. With a nail, no less, huh?
A nail and pain.
That's
I had
great.
To go a little slow. It's just slow and patient, and trust me, I got zero patience at all. So I had a lot of downtime.
So let me bring up, we've got one of our listeners that wants to come on. We've got Chad on the air with us. Hi, Chad.
Hi, how's it going?
Wonderful. Do you have a question you'd like to ask Rodney?
Actually, I have a few statements. That's kind of shocking that he's on here. I have a few things I want to say to him. First and foremost, thanks for adding my Facebook friend request. The reward challenge on your birthday, they should have given you one, especially Carolyn. And number three, I saw the video with Dan. You surprised Dan. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we're a tight-knit group, and he's over in Maine, and I'm in Boston. I was only an hour and a half away, and I knew he was getting eliminated that day. So I was like, you know what? I gotta show him that I really do care about him, because I care about every single person in there. So I had to let him, show him a lot of support. And, he had a tough time with his edit dealing with, what he got. He feels like he wanted to be more of a hero rather than a villain. But it's just the name of the game. You got to adapt to it. But that's what all the castmates are here for. If you got a problem, you got an issue, you come to us. You don't go to nobody else.
Yeah, and what kills me most of these seasons is that these cast members would hold a grudge against each other. And to see things like that is just so cool as a fan to see that, you know, there are people that don't hold grudges and they treat it like a game, and that, you know, and not let personal feelings aside, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Rodney, do you watch Big Brother at all?
No, I don't. No, I don't watch Big Brother. I watched a couple episodes of it, but a lot of people are saying
that
they
Michelle Costa from season 10 is a host of another one of our shows on Mondays called Manic Monday, and she lives up there in Rhode Island, and she does all kinds of charity events, and I'm sure she would love to have you come back on and do a Manic Monday show on a Monday afternoon with us, or Monday evening. It's actually, it'd be 7 p.m. your time. So consider that. Maybe we'd be able to have you come back on a Monday evening with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10 and talk to us on her show.
The main thing, hey, Rodney, this is Paul from Minnesota. The main thing about Michelle Costa is we do talk reality shows on her show, and she is a huge fan of yours. So that's why
yeah,
she would love to have
her. She's been pulling for you the entire season.
That's what I do it for. I do it for you guys. You guys can get entertained. I got all the punchlines. I'm the punchline king of Survivor now. So you guys want punchlines, your boy gonna deliver for you. So it was a mixture of good gameplay and good fun. I had a lot of fun with all the people out there, and like I said, we all hanging out to this day. It's the reason why we came together. There was no fighting and bickering, bantering. We got our problems, but you know, we're just dysfunctional. That's all.
That final immunity challenge. How do you feel? Did it get a good edit? Because that looked so exhausting.
Yeah, it was a really hard challenge, really fun challenge too. It was like you were going to a water park, but you were also running the marathon. So it was like it was something you couldn't really explain. It was unbelievable. I just like the puzzle, so I basically took the puzzle pieces and flipped them in the air, and I was like, I'm done, I'm screwed. I dug deep, and I untied the knots, and by the time I got the knots untied, Mike was all the way at the top. I was so out of it, I couldn't even untie a knot. I was literally out of my mind. The starvation factor of survivors is real deal. It's the real thing you'll ever go through, especially if you're like me, when food's your number one love of your life. So, well, besides my mother,
I can imagine. Well, I can imagine. We all saw how it was affecting you. And I'll never forget the one tribal council where Prost was asking you questions and you could barely respond because you were just so hungry. I mean, it was really affecting you.
Yeah, I was out of it.
You could barely think. I mean, it was just affecting you so greatly that your brain
absolutely
just wasn't working anymore, and it was hard for you to respond.
Well, hey, I hate to cut this short, but I got to get going. I'm very happy to be on here and chat with you. No, no problem. And you know, if you show me out on Twitter, I'll show attention. I show love to all my fans. I love all my fans up and down. I do it for you guys. You know,
I'm Cherry Garcia. I'll certainly follow you. And
I think I'm already following you, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just keep supporting and keep being there, and hopefully I'll be back, and I'll bring it home next time because I was legit a half a day away.
There you go.
From a big what if, you know. But hey, you guys have a great day, and it was great talking to you.
Have safe travels, babe.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Rodney, thank you so much. And one thing that was a running thing, that Rodney never got a reward, but we were able to get Rodney a reward when he came in, and we gave him a huge birthday gift bag, and Rodney was able to get a gift from the fans. So that was a cool thing that didn't cost a lot, and we don't have CBS's budget, but we were sure able to give him some salty snacks and fill him up with some empty calories and fulfill him with the gift of the super fans and our love for him. So, and I really appreciate Rodney doing that because he's running out the door, so that was awesome for him to do that. So
yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, I forgot to tell him I was Team Blue Collar all the way, but I just wanted to tell him how much I appreciated the video, him surprising Dan, and how bad I felt for him on that reward challenge on his birthday. You know, I thought that was brutal. I made the I posted about it, and I said I would have given it to him if I was, you know, there, you know.
It's hard to give up a reward, and there's a political component. Thanks, dude. It's a huge thing. There's political things, but there's also that can really fulfill you. So, and it's really hard to pass off that for sure. So. But you never know what will happen in the lobby here with the cast. You never know who you could encounter. So that was great.
Are you seeing more people, or are you referring to Rodney?
Oh, well, it's a little, I'm just saying, well, Ronnie's over there. He's about to leave. But we did see Baylor come by. Baylor and Missy were here, guests of Mike. So
my
gosh. I'll try to keep this flowing as well as we can. But, yeah, the challenge I think Rodney was talking about was that second, the last immunity challenge, which was just a beast of a challenge. I think, I don't even know how tall that tower was, but, you know, you had to untie all those knots and then, you know, run up that slide and get the bag and then do that three times.
Well, and it was amazing, and I know it just totally took zapped him of energy, but he was the last person to go up those stairs, but he caught up with the other two. I could not believe he caught up.
Yeah, he was tearing that thing up for sure.
Hey, Big Mike, this you were talking a bit about at the beginning of the show, but if I go back and watch the finale of the reunion again, where were your seats? Would we be able to find you, or are you way back?
The best way you're going to see it was a seat filler seat, but if you watch, it's during the when Jeff's coming down in the second chance section, when he's going like, you know, talking to one person, and you're going to make it, you made it, and talking to somebody else saying, sorry, you didn't make it. I'm over on the right side of the screen behind Jeff, so when he's like, when the cast members are running up on stage, and he's between Jeff and the cast and the stage, I'm behind him in a teal shirt, and I'm wearing a yellow buff on my head. So there's a couple good shots. I'm a big guy. You can just see me in the crowd. And for certain people, I'm like, you know, thumbs up or put both hands up or cheering. So that's if you're watching the episode, that's the best way to see me.
I'll have to go back and watch, too.
Me, too.
Yeah, there was, it's not as good as the last finale when we were, you know, every time they showed Tyler Perry, I was right in the picture as well. But it's pretty good. It was a good thing. But that second immunity challenge, well, let's not get too far into that second immunity challenge. So Mike wins the first one, the puzzle, you know, the directional puzzle. He wins immunity. And then there's the bantering back and forth with Sierra being the swing vote. You know, she could go with Mike and Carolyn, or she could go with Rodney and Will. And amazingly, when they got to Tribal Council, it's one of the only times I've ever seen this. Mike was able to sell to everybody, and everyone agreed that the biggest threat out there was definitely, aside from himself that he had no immunity, was Sierra. So Sierra became the target. And amazingly, it was a 4-1 vote, and Sierra goes home first out of the final episode. And that wasn't too shocking to me. But with Sierra gone, you know, Mike's main opposition in a final challenge was going to be Rodney. So he was, you know, pushing it really, really hard out there and, you know, just fell a little bit short. That puzzle looked extremely tricky. I don't know if it had, I didn't count it, 10 or 12 pieces of that lighthouse puzzle. So after you've worked your body over like crazy, you know, going through not only, it appeared to be to me at least 5 or 6 stories, if not taller, of a structure. Actually, Missy is also over by the desk as well. So Missy and Baylor are here too. So it's just, this is how crazy this is. lost my train of thought there for a second.
Hey,
but,
Mike.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, you know, this is your show, and if you're able to ask them to dial in on their own phone so you can be on air and ask questions, that would be awesome.
That would be better. I've got some people here in the lobby that are watching, so I may have them dial in on their phone, so it would be probably... Sure, I hate doing this on here, but it might be a 513 area code, possibly calling in or some other extension. If we get the cat on,
they'll just
whip out their phone and call. So but we'll definitely, because I definitely wanted to pop in some interviews, because that part was a little, a little awkward, to say the least. But, yeah, so the second immunity challenge, Mike wins again in a brutal, you know, a brutal win, just tears through, gets the combination. So Mike has immunity. And what I was very surprised that he talked to Carolyn and made it be a 2-2 tie, and it had to go to a fire-making challenge.
To me, that was genius.
Oh,
yeah.
I loved it. It made for great TV, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was genius. And no matter which way it went, because he took Carolyn out and gave her the opportunity to practice, if she would have lost, to me, she would have voted for him because she gave him or he gave her the opportunity to practice.
Yep.
And if Rodney would have won, you know, I mean, it was a win-win for him no matter what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just a genius move. I couldn't believe that Mike came up with that. I was like, that's some of the best Survivor move I've ever seen on Survivor, Mike.
Yeah.
That was genius.
Remember back to the first few episodes, I don't know if you all remember, but we were not the biggest fans of him. Remember that guy? And by the end, you're right, Sherry. You could point out genius move, so smart move, way to go, you know, way to compete. It was just like a complete reversal for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Another 180 twist on how you were feeling there. It was smart.
Yep.
And there was one point where it looked like Rodney was going to pull through and win it. Then he still has, you know, helping Carolyn out. He would have gotten Carolyn's vote. And just either way, she makes it there, and she's basically there because, you know, the move he made to even allow her to have a shot. Because if he hadn't, I assume it would have been pretty similar to the vote that happened if she hadn't been there. When Jeff checked with the jury that, yeah, Mike was just trying to hedge his bets and even make sure he had one more vote. So I thought that was great gameplay there.
Speaking of that tribal with the fire, love the jury's reaction.
Yeah, it reminded
jury
me
was loving it.
Survivor Cook Islands when Becky and Sandra, they took about twice as long, and they even had to go to matches. But they were there, you know, battling as hard as they could. And going through Flint's, I think Rodney went through three Flint's, and there was just, you know, a lot going on. And he got the, you know, first to get a fire, and Carolyn caught up, but it was just his coconut husks were gone, and she had more husk and more stick. So
now, I don't know if you had the same thoughts watching it, you know, in the audience or not, but I'm sitting at home, and I thought for sure that Rodney's flame was going to burn through first. I mean, it was such great TV.
It looked like that too, but the biggest thing I noticed quickly, and then I think Jeff mentioned it, was there wasn't a lot of sticks in there, and the key to a good fire, once, you know, the oxygen intake and the materials, is building that teepee to force, you know, the energy up, you know, up and not just burning on the ground and pushing the fire and the flame and the heat, you know, up in that triangular motion. And Carolyn just, you know, put that together so well and, you know, did it. And Rodney became the last member of the jury.
Jeff Probst was actually telling him, you know, if you just use the husk, you know, it's going to burn too quickly. Mm-hmm. And he just kept putting the husk on it and keeping it burn hot with the fire with the husk. And he wasn't putting sticks on it and building it up like a teepee like Carolyn did.
Yeah.
And Probst is standing right there telling him, you know,
yeah,
you know it's going to burn out if you just use the husk. And he's not listening. Why aren't you listening?
Jerry, we always hear how long these tribals are. And so we don't know how long it was going on before they went to that fire challenge. And then we see the clock on there and how it's gone on and on and on. Jeff was probably saying, I want to get out of here. I'm going to start giving you.
Well, the jury, some of them look like they were about to fall asleep.
and stuff like that. I think that delay in not seeing the fire making, really people like Joe and stuff, may have turned their decision on, you know, did Carolyn make very many fires out there? You know? So maybe that helped sway the jury. So we're down to, Rodney joins the jury, and we're down to our final three of Mike, Carolyn, and Will. And interesting final three. I don't think I know from the very beginning it was not something I would have picked in a thousand years, but one representative from each initial tribe, so that is very interesting. I don't have the data in front of me, but for a season that starts with three tribes, I think it's one of the few times where one of each from, you know, no collar, white collar, and blue collar all made it. So that was just an interesting thing to see. And I would have been assuming two out of three would have been, or three out of three would have been blue collar. So that was neat that it was a whole different scenario.
Yeah, that was really interesting to see that, you know, one from each tribe made it. And it certainly wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have been my picks out of the three tribes to have made it to the finale either.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show. But
I want to ask,
one from each tribe made it.
Before we leave that tribal council that we were talking about where Rodney was eliminated, did you notice when Jeff went to snuff out Rodney's torch that there was barely any flame left in it?
Yeah, I saw that. There was barely any flame in the torch. And did you see the, when he went to do that, Rodney threw his own buff in the fire, and that made it smoke up even crazy. So we had the smoke here on set than it's ever been, which was, I just thought it was a weird visual.
Carolyn said it wasn't his buff. Carolyn said it was his shirt, I believe.
Oh, okay. We threw something in the fire. So.
Yep.
So then they come back, and then Poetic Injustice, I guess, is they're on morning of day 39, and there's the final day breakfast, and Rodney missed another reward of that by not being in the final three. So they had a great feast together. They, you know, burned down the shelter and all the stuff they didn't need, and headed to that final tribal council, which it was interesting. There wasn't a lot of questions from Mike, which really made it an interesting thing with the end result. I was surprised that he didn't get more questions. What was your take on just, it seemed like most jurors, except for one key juror, didn't really, they seemed like they were focusing on what Carolyn had to say to defend her game.
I have an observation. I saw that too, and I was going to count, and I go, holy cow, how many of the jurors have already been up there and nobody is talking to Mike yet? The only thing I can think is sometimes maybe the jurors already know who they're going to vote for. Maybe they already knew they were going for Mike, so they thought they'd take their shots or comments to the other ones. I don't know, but you're right.
I thought Jen's was amazing. Jen's speech was incredible.
How do you address the jury?
I like that. That was big, and from being out here at the actual thing, the person we had, you know, one of the bigger challenges with to get to come sign stuff was Jen. And then to have her say that jury speech, that was my opening thing at the final party, was just Jen. That speech was phenomenal. That it was just kind of like, you know, everyone just suck it up and vote for who played the best game. Don't let some, you know, something that happened deter your opinion. So I thought it was great. Great thing to say for somebody that had the most cavalier attitude about the whole process. At the end of the day, that is what the jury should do. Vote for who played the best game, not, oh, yeah, on day 27, you ate all the rice, and I didn't get any.
Yeah.
You're a huge jerk, and I don't want to like
was
you.
Was it Jen that addressed, without saying any names, how bitter the jurors were? Was that her, in part of her speech?
Yep, that was her.
She was just amazing. I will always – she gave a speech that was – I think as well as Sue Hawks, only in a good way. You know, as bad as Sue Hawks was in a mean way, Jen's was epic in a good way. And I think it'll always be remembered.
And then Shereen went in with the more theatrical Reed approach, referring back to the animals. We had an appearance of three or a reference to three animals, and I remember that Mike Howler monkey who's running around. Carolyn was, what was her animal?
The stingray.
She's a stingray.
Oh, there you go.
You think she's safe under the bottom of the ocean, and you step on her, and she'll sting you and get you. But the other fish in the sea, probably our least, one of our least favorites the entire season, was she called Will a dead fish. And the animosity there is palpable. It still exists now. It was at the reunion show. It exists in this hotel. It exists when she's on her way to Cambodia. It's there for sure. And to do another, I was saying that Dan and Roy surprised me how friendly they were as cast members. You know, the biggest surprise I expected was from a super fan like Shireen. She was one of the quirkiest, strangest people I've ever met. And she wouldn't really sign much for any of us for charity or anything.
Wow.
She was, a couple fans get in a row to take pictures, and she's like, hey, hurry up. Hey, hurry up. You know, move it along.
Dang.
And that kind of, you think somebody's a super fan, they're going to support, their fellow super fans. And that was a little shocking. And, even me, I'm trying to get a picture signed for charity, my own cast photo. And it was like, she signed a couple things and was like, that it? And just was like, want to do something else. So maybe she'll calm down after Cambodia.
I was going to ask you the timing of your interaction with her. Was this prior to the finale or after?
This was Tuesday evening at a party. But
okay.
A fun fact for the viewers and listeners here is the second chancers that weren't in season 30 were supposed to be sequestered to another hotel. And Monday evening, my friends and I were here loitering in the lobby, as we call it, just hanging out looking for cats. And we see Spencer Bledsoe, who, was on Cagayan, and we all give him a wave, and he gives this real subtle wave, and we see he's walking with a woman, but none of us got a really good look at her. But we noticed she was a shorter, dark-haired woman with really curly hair, and then we acknowledge it, oh, wow, that's Shireen. So Spencer and Shireen kind of went off down the hallway to, I assume, plan some pregame strategy for second chances. So that was a little spoiler of sorts, insider information.
Yeah, I want to kind of address that. I know we're hitting around different topics, but I know that when they always start Survivor, they always separate all the castaways. If they're all together, they're told they're not allowed to talk to each other and this type of thing. And I was wondering, okay, I wonder if they've talked prior. Who's going to keep them from talking to each other? And when they get on that bus, are they going to have some producer saying you can't talk? I just think there's probably been a lot of conversation.
Typically, from what I've been told, is, they're sequestered in the hotel room until they depart, and that's what happened over there. There wasn't supposed to be any interaction. They had, room service for meals. They came over, and when they got on the bus, I would assume they had their own little row, maybe, or there was producers there between everyone, and they're probably on a gag order until they, hit the island and the game's on. So they can't really interact with each other or really speak about anything. And that's in a normal season, and these people know each other, so they know who's sitting next to them, so they don't have to worry about who's this older looking guy in a hat. They know it's Keith. They don't have to where's he from or what's he about. So that's what I assume would happen. So but from the jury, the biggest moment I think for me was, well, there were two big moments, Shireen with her the animal thing, and that ended in, that was what it was. But then we had Dan's question to the jury, or to the final three. And I was really happy with what Mike did, and then I was even more happy, with Dan's reaction there. I think that was, a great question, a great response, and a great, just great give and take there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Dan was just irritating me to no end with his looks every time anything was said about Mike or anything, him rolling his eyes and making ugly faces, and it was really getting under my skin. And so, you know, for them to sort of heal that a little bit, I was glad to see it because he was really ticking me off.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry, I felt the same way, and I can't help but every time he says something, remember his very first episode where he had said, "I want to be remembered," and I kept thinking, is he just doing this for show?
Now he knows some genuine emotional reaction. I think some of it's theatrical, but a lot of that has to be just, you know, that once the auction thing happened and Mike, you know, sat down and didn't go back, I think that just was such a huge issue for so long. And then when the apology then happened, it was just so cathartic for him that then I did a complete change of opinion of the guy and acknowledged that he definitely wanted to, you know, appreciate that he was able to do that.
The other thing at that final tribal, and I don't recall if or when they have never had the final three do their own little speech. They're, you know, to say this is why I should get it. No,
yeah,
they didn't have.
I did notice that there wasn't a statement from them at the beginning or the end. That must have been maybe that was an editing thing for time with all the give and take that happened. I did not even realize that didn't occur. So nice job spotting that.
Yeah, they didn't have an opening statement, which was really weird. I think that was the first time that happened, didn't it?
I believe so, that there was no an opening or closing statement.
Wow.
I would love to be able to, we should have asked Rodney that, because I would love to find out from those that were sitting at that tribal, did they have opening statements, and did it just get cut because of time?
And that's something I'll send them messages and tweet them about and see if I can get an answer for maybe for the opening of our next season. So, and
we could always have you come back and do one more show to sort of wrap up the season too. You know, it's up to you.
We could, with these contacts we made this week, we could have another couple people from this current season come on, and, you know, I could talk to Max, who was in the running for Second Chances, see what he has to say, and a few other people that I made tighter bonds with out here, to see if on the recap,
yeah,
just their thoughts now that they're not under contract and they're open for these kind of interviews. So
I know we're not talking about the Second Chance voting yet,
almost,
you just brought up Max, and you may not have seen it, but when he was told he was not going on, just before the camera moved from him, he took his hand and wiped his brow like, phew, I'm glad I didn't get on. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
I think I might have. Yeah, I think he had a lot of mixed emotions. I don't think he wanted to go back quite so soon. It's my opinion of that. But I think it was a little too fresh with what happened. I think he wanted to give it a season or two to, you know, regroup and reposition himself.
How did you feel about the interviews? Of course, because of the Second Chance, we needed time for the reunion show for that. Jeff did not talk to all of the castaways.
Especially Carolyn.
Not talking to the person that tied for second, not talking to 13 of the 18 contestants is totally unfortunate. I couldn't believe that occurred the way it did. I understand the, you know, production reasons why we had to see like a 3 or 4 minute clip from from camp to discredit one of the players, and the exchanges between Dan and Jeff were too intense, I think, for the reunion show. That should be all about reconciliation and getting everyone on a better page and seeing more of you said this and we're going to show you this, it says something different. And I didn't think it was interesting to see as a fan, but from interacting with the guy and seeing how friendly and nice he was initially compared to the rest of the people from his cast, I didn't like seeing that. Plus, it also deterred from the time for the rest of them to talk, coupled with second chances. So it was a lot. It was very disjointed for me, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jeff, I totally agree. I'm sorry. I totally agree. I watched that. It was like 10 minutes of just ripping into Dan. And like you said, with all the controversy that happened this season, all I wanted to see really was them say their piece, like, I'm sorry I said this, or whatever, and then apology and be done with it. And that's all you really have to do instead of ripping into this poor guy for like 15 minutes when you can be talking to Carolyn, Rodney, Kelly, or anybody else in that Sierra. I mean, that was just, it was more than unfortunate. I just think it was really uncalled for, you know?
I agree that it was unfortunate. I hated seeing so much time spent on it. But Dan was still lying. He was lying. He was complaining that he got a bad edit and saying that a lot of the things that were shown was taken out of context. And I think Jeff felt like he had to prove that because Dan was saying that things were shown out of context and it was a bad edit on him, and it didn't go down the way that it was shown on TV. So he felt like he had to show that it was like it was shown on TV. And Pope showed it to the nation that he caught him in a bold-faced lie when Dan said, oh, we had just been talking about all these your mama jokes right before I said that. And he proved to everyone that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dan was saying, all these things that they showed, didn't happen, it was taken out of context, and I'm not that guy that said those things. They cut it and put it in places where it didn't belong. No, you are that guy, and you did say those things, and they proved that they didn't cut them and put them in places where they did, where they weren't said initially. That's where you said them, and they proved that it was uncut footage, and they proved him to be a liar in that footage. And I think it was unfortunate that it took so much time. And I would have much rather seen Carolyn be interviewed. But when a player is saying, oh, they took my words and they used them they cut them and used them in places that, they didn't belong, and they took my words and used them out of context, and they cut and pasted and did all this, and he's accusing Survivor of doing things that they didn't do. Sometimes they have to prove themselves and say, no, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I
think he genuinely misremembered it from talking to him in person. I think there's a misremembering parts of what happened coupled with, maybe other days they had, maybe other days they had been going a lot of back and forth and just misremembering which day was which. I think that's all, possibly what could have occurred. I think part of it was just confusion coupled with, misremembering it. I think was a big part of it from actually talking to Dan in person and just, how upset, he's destroyed. He was one of the perkier people, and then, coming back from that, he just seems so down still today, just a few hours ago. So, you really feel for the guy that to feel like he was, destroyed on live TV. So it was, I'm very conflicted with my opinions. So, But on a lighter note, Mike prevails 6-1. I think several people were upset that Rodney voted for Will. I would agree with that. I think Carolyn should have definitely been second place, not tied for second place. That cost her $15,000 because he voted for Will, and I think some of the jury would possibly want to change their votes just to, you know, Mike could have won 5-2-1 just to make sure that Carolyn gets that extra $15,000 in second place.
That's a good point. I never thought about
crappy that she has to tie with Will for second place.
Yeah, no. I didn't agree with that either. I was like, why? And, you know, I feel bad for Carolyn on that one.
Well, and then to get excluded in the next segment as well. But as far as the – I do have a question. Do you guys believe that the little – the vote for Mike that had the monkey on that, was that Shireen's vote?
Probably.
I think so. I would guess that that's where that came from. Because he's the one that liked to put all the fun symbols on his votes, I would imagine. So, what you didn't see, two interesting things. During the reunion show, there's a warm-up guy that entertains the crowd, and during the commercial right before Second Chances, when they came out, he asked who the biggest fan in the audience was, and he happened to be in our section. And I yelled at him, hey, I've met 428 contestants. And he heard me, and I got to do, like, a minute interview in front of the entire audience.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm the biggest fan. I've met 428 cast members. And then he said, why have you not put in a tape? And I also got the plug. You know, I'm trying to get in shape, and maybe one day Probes can snuff my torch. Or he can try to snuff my torch if I'm out there. So I did that in front of the entire audience,
cool, Mike.
The Second Chance people, and the people on stage.
Oh,
that
man, I
so
wish
cool.
There was a video. I wish there
that's
they had a video
so cool.
of that.
There may be audio somewhere, but there's definitely, I don't think there's video. But right after that, there were people that were down in the front filling the seats for the Second Chance people. So they all got up, and then at the commercial break, they brought in all the Second Chance people. It was like an extended commercial break. And as they walked in, they were probably, you know, 10 or 15 feet away from us. So I started yelling it down to people as they came in, like, yo, Jeff, yo, Kimmy, yo, Kelly. And then I got down, and I was just standing next to my friend who runs these charity events. So we've all met a whole bunch of cast members. But for almost every single one of them to wave up in our area and smile and say, hey, we know who you two are, was just, you know, I almost got emotional, and the coolest one was Andrew Savage to be like, hey, Andrew, it's Mike, and he's like, he waved, he's like, hey, Mike, nice to meet you, so he became 428, so they all sat in the crowd, and then I think even more intense than the interview with Dan is this whole, you know, I'm probably not going to remember the chronological order, because I didn't take notes, because we were at the taping. But just going section by section, and, you know, you're on the show and you're not on the show. So
yeah.
I mean, probably did it out of order, but.
Really quickly, let me ask you, you had been saying your number was at 411, and now you're at 428. And
yes.
That means 17 new ones. Were they all 17 from this season?
It was Andrew and 16. The 16 I hadn't met, so the 16 were everyone except for Max and Tyler, because Tyler was the one I had met at the last finale.
Oh.
So it was 16 plus one.
Awesome.
That was the, that's the way we got there.
That's so cool.
So then we go to the Second Chance part where Jeff is actually running through the list, and Mike wins, so he's out of the running. That leaves 15 guys for 10 spots, and I'm trying to do this in the best remembering of the order they went. I have the
order if you'd like me to do it. My first question would be, was there any revelation with Mike having been in the top 10 and eliminated, do we know who filled his spot?
We don't know who filled his spot, but they did. Yeah, they mentioned that on the air and in the studio that he was in the top 10 if he hadn't won, which is cool because he's one of the ones I supported. We'll go through the order of them, but once we go through the order of how they were put on or off, I have
okay,
some definitive opinions
was,
on all that.
First one was Kelly Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth was in, and I had been voting that the entire time. She was runner-up to Richard Hatch. I thought she'd be there, and she was.
And then he did a pair. He did Kimmy and Jeff.
And I was really surprised. I didn't think Kimmy was going to make it with some other old cast members there. And he's like, Kimmy, you made it. And I think everyone thought that Jeff may have not made it. But then Jeff was like, and Barney, you're in too. And then Jeff gives him a huge, huge hug. And Kimmy's like, I'm not going to eat any meat. And Jeff's like, I'm not eating any peanut butter. Which
yeah,
I thought was hilarious.
He hasn't eaten peanut butter since he got off 14 years ago.
And we had that scoop from last week. Because he said
yep.
when he was sick.
I sure did.
That's still the case. So that was crazy. So.
Yeah, I
who's next?
You know, I was looking for you so often, and I'm going to have to go back and see it, but I was hoping to see you, and when Jeff was told he had a second chance, I wanted to see Big Mike fist pumping or cheering.
Rewatch it, and you'll see me in a teal shirt, and I think I raise my hand or I'm yelling, and you can see me behind them in the background.
Yeah, because
so.
I bet there was quite a few of the second chances that you were really getting excited and cheering about. After Jeff, then we got Keith.
Keith, when Keith was Keith by himself? I can't remember.
Yes.
Was he in a row by himself?
Yes.
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 Just by himself.
And Keith was a fun one in last season, but I was personally really surprised that Keith got picked. I think they had other old guys, and I just did not expect that. That was my reaction, is I didn't really think Keith was going to get picked or should be picked.
Then we had a trio of girls. We had T-Bird, Stephanie, and PG.
This was one of the most, for me, upsetting portions, because Jeff, those are three people I had been voting for the entire time, and when he said, one of you makes it, and then he said, Stephanie, you didn't make it. That made me upset. And then he went to PG, and I was like, well, did you tell PG she didn't make it? And I was going to be like, well, that sucks because I thought she should be there. And then he says, PG, you're going. You made it. And then Teresa, just the look on her face, she kept a really strong front, but that had to be devastating because T-Bird's been wanting to play for a long time, and a lot of fans have wanted to see her for a long time, and that one was one of two that really shocked me, who did it.
That was a heartbreaker. I wanted to see T-Bird back on there so bad, and I was really shocked that she didn't make it. I don't know why fans didn't vote her back in. I just don't understand that vote. I don't understand why T-Bird isn't back out there.
Yeah.
I have a theory. There's Survivor super fans like this group talking, and then there's the casual fans that haven't seen the earlier episodes, and they probably just haven't remembered her. And
that's
very
possible.
That's probably a good theory, and probably what did actually take place is a lot of people voted are, you know, people who have maybe picked Survivor up in more recent years and don't realize what a great player she was and had no recollection of, you know, what an amazing person she was. So it's really sad. It really broke my heart when she didn't make it on. That was one of the heartbreakers for me last night.
Yeah, and there's more coming, so. For sure.
I know. I know.
On the order, Paul?
We had the next ones we had was Sierra and Vetus from Blood vs. Water.
And they showed the two of them, and I was like, they're either going to say one or neither of them made it. and they both made it. And I was like, Sierra made a, you know, she voted on her mom, and Vetus has an interesting story, but it really just, it surprised me. I was like, okay. You know, and
yeah.
I was like, wow, if that happened, there was, I was like, well, there's going to be some pretty tough decisions coming up later, so.
That was my thought exactly. There's going to be some really cool people to cut because.
I know. Then there were Jim Rice and Sabrina.
From a setup standpoint, Jim was 3 seats in and Sabrina was 4 seats in. I didn't even think about that when those seats were down there, but it made some sense that they were that far and they probably wouldn't make it. But Jim had one of the most active campaigns I saw, and he didn't make it.
And Jeff really played him up, too. I mean, the votes were already in, obviously, but Jeff made a point of saying how much, you know, everybody from production loved him.
Yeah.
Then we got a couple old farts. We had Terry and Savage.
And they seem pretty similar as players, but it's great to see them both, and they both made it. And I was really happy to see them both.
I was really extremely happy because I voted mostly old school.
Yeah.
With the exception of one player that when I read something, I was like, oh, I can't vote for this person anymore. But I was really, really happy when those two got cast. Extremely.
Okay.
And I was thinking it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to mix up with these newer players that have been voted in, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, going back, it just dawned on me. Wasn't it Jeff that went running on stage? I thought he was going to trip and fall on his face. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I'm probably recovered. That would have been really embarrassing.
Get injured before he makes
the
top
stage. Picks to go on second chances and breaks his leg. Who's going to replace him? No.
Yeah, they might have pulled somebody in. That would have been nuts.
And then we go on to two girls again, and this was interesting to watch, Abby Maria and Cass.
And it was cool to see them together, those two. They're two kind of controversial players. They look almost like a mother-daughter kind of combo, which I had never thought of until they were both sitting next to each other.
I'll tell you this. I voted for one all the time, and I didn't vote for the other one at all, so...
I voted for both of them, and I'm glad they made it.
I voted for both of them, and I love them both. And I'm so, so psyched that they're both on the season. I'm just stoked that they both made it.
Oh, yeah.
Then we went on to a foursome of girls, Natalie, Kelly, Michaela, and Monica.
Yeah. And that part was I was really anxious there because I love Kelly to death, and she did the show, and she's one of my favorites from her season. And Monica played a great, you know, played well in Samoa. She fought. She was interesting. She was one of the ones that go right at Russell and do a decent job. And the other two contestants I like a lot. I've met them and hung out. I haven't really said this yet, but we got to hang out with all the people that didn't make it at the bar, and I was sad to be hugging them and, you know, saying sorry they didn't make it. But I liked who made it out of that bunch. And I think it's controversial when people are kind of blaming Kelly for, you know, taking T-Bird's spot. But I think Sierra did that, not Kelly. So
I agree.
Let's take a little turn right now because something just came to mind. Afterwards, you saw some of those second chancers that didn't make it. How were they handling it?
They were all pretty professional and, you know, gracious. I think we haven't gotten to the person yet, but they were just, I think, more shocked, and then shock went to, like, extreme anger. One of them, and we'll get to that individual
The next pair we had from this season, Carolyn and Shireen.
Yeah, that one, I am now seeing now Carolyn didn't win and interacting with Shireen. I think Carolyn would have been a better pick. I didn't vote for her. I voted for Shireen, and I wish I could get a do-over and switch my votes for all week.
I voted for both of them, but I certainly, if I had to choose one or the other, it would be Carolyn. And
yeah,
I am just heartbroken that she's not back out there. I mean, if anybody deserves it, that girl does. I just...
Yeah.
My heart is broken for that girl. I think she really sort of got the short end of the stick last night. And
oh, yeah.
I feel bad for her.
For sure.
Yeah. That, and you could see Shireen was really shocked, and I think it was a genuine. Her face was like, are you kidding me? Me over Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
And also she
yeah.
was even surprised. Then we got
yeah.
a pair of guys. We have Steven Fishback and Wu.
I really thought this was going to be a one-on-one. I was, and it was also confirmed by one of my friends who went up and talked to Lynn Spillman at the after party. Was I thought it was going to? I thought Steven's a lock, 100% lock, and I thought Wu was like, give me a break, no freaking way. And Wu made it, and you know Fishback made it.
Maybe he was number 11.
Yeah, we might have been 11, or Keith might have been 11. That's where my feelings are on it.
I was very. I liked Wu as a player until his dumb idea, dumb move on the finals in Taguion, and
yeah.
I did not vote for him because I looking down on the list, there were so many. There were guys that deserved a heck of a lot more, in my opinion, that I want
mm-hmm.
to see back. And then, and that's, we haven't mentioned his name yet, and but that's,
well,
yeah, that's my thought.
We're almost
person,
to that guy.
One person I mentioned earlier that came just before these two guys was Max, and we already kind of talked about him.
Yeah, I think he was handled it pretty well, and I think he wants to come back in another venue in another way, maybe. So
yeah, the next two guys were Troy Zan, or the next pair, I should say, was Troy Zan and Tasha.
And I was not on the Troy Zan camp. I think he's a fun guy. I still want to see him play again. And at that point, with Sabrina not making, I was pretty sure this would be a one-on-one, and it ended up being Tasha getting on. And more from Kaga.
I was just going to say, Jerry probably fist-pumped that one.
Yep. I was so pulling for Tasha.
Yep.
The
next so she made it in, which was good.
Yep. Okay, the next pair, we had... Jeremy and Shane.
Oh. And this is the second part that I wanted to, you know, reach out to the casual fans and strangle some of them, because I thought Jeremy was an interesting character, and I thought Jeremy definitely should have been there. But from just how different and unique they were, Shane Powers was somebody that I thought was 100% locked. Of a lot of the guys, and he didn't make it. And, you know, he got, you know, ripped out of Heroes versus Villains by Russell and has been on the block. And he was the one that seemed so upset and just shocked. Like, you saw him on TV, and that's how he looked in person. He was like, what? How did I not get picked?
I know. I was going to ask, so there's a big TV monitor? Because he would have been looking at the back of their heads. But, yeah, he was very shocked.
I was
and
so
just
upset.
Sitting and sulking, or not sulking, but watching in his seat, and it just seemed like something he didn't expect at all.
But yeah, and, you know, he's the other old-school guy that I voted for heavily. And just to see, no offense to Joe from this season, but
mm-hmm.
in my mind, we just saw Joe. I mean, I liked him as a competitor and all that. But he's fresh off the season, you know, and just to
yeah.
see that was just, it pissed me off, you
I know.
Yeah.
To have the opportunity to see him go back on as opposed to somebody we, like, you know, just saw, you know, to miss out on the opportunity to see somebody like him go back out there and play again is just heartbreaking. I feel like we could have been cheated, you know?
Our final three were three guys. Two were going to make it. Spencer, Greg Culpepper, and from this season, Joe. I think Culpepper really...
That was an easy call.
Yeah,
for me, that was one of the easiest sections. I'm like, yeah, sit down.
Stay seated, Brad.
Somebody I know was like, he's a lock. He's going to be part of the season. It's like, the guy didn't even campaign. It didn't even seem like he wanted to do it. So,
who's that? Yeah. I mean, I thought he was an interesting character, and I'm a big Monica fan. But when he started patting their backs, I just knew it. I mean,
yeah, I adore his wife. I love Monica.
Oh, love Monica.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think he was going to get on at all. And
yeah, I didn't either.
Well, the one thing that we can determine is there was what? How many from this current season? Five were in the voting.
Yep.
And I'm upset about one of them not getting through.
Five of them were up, and three of the five were voted on. So there's the recent, you know, the familiarity vote.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate, but there's no way to really combat that.
Yeah. They could
I'm
have
upset
excluded,
about one of them not going in.
They could have excluded this season and say, okay, the second chances aren't going to include anybody from this current season. That would have been, for me as a fan, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, because from what I've heard, they're going to do two more installations, so there's no reason to you know, putting in five out of the 32 from this season when you could be pulling in other people and different options to choose from.
And you said two more installations. Are you talking about two more second chances installations?
From what I can gather from talking to some people, that there'll be two more sets, possibly from some of these people that didn't make it, and other combinations. So,
awesome.
Well,
I have this
idea that maybe they should let the fans vote who they want on the ballot. I know that's far fetched, but
wow.
Chad, always send your ideas in. I tell you, you never know when your ideas could get picked up. And that's something that I tell everybody because it's happened before.
Yeah.
So if you have an idea, send it in. Send it to Jeff or send it to CBS. Send it to somebody. Send it in and let them know what your idea is.
I might just do that.
Now, can I assume that past Survivor castaways were asked ahead of time? Would you be included? And do you think that there were probably, Mike, that there were probably some that were asked that said, I can't do it now, no thank you?
I think I've heard they started with 75. And whittled that down to, you know, and I think that early list we saw the 40, some of those were probably valid that were in the mix, and maybe some of them said no, and or they're going to come back in other cycles.
Somehow, with your idea, Chad, somehow we'd have to get a list of past castaways that would be willing to do it so that you don't end up voting for somebody that turns it down.
I know of one that I really, really want to see back, and he felt gypped. He even posted a fan video on Facebook, which I thought was very hilarious.
What I think they're going to do is they're going to identify a larger number of contestants that want to play. And then what then the audience may be able to vote them down in a process. You know, maybe start with 50 and then cut maybe five a week during the season. Something like that.
Right. Yeah, they'd have to do something like, you know, the survivors that want to be, you know, want to go back in. Yeah.
And then during the episode or commercial breaks, maybe they can, you know, appeal for they want to be on it. And then maybe a couple get voted out each week during a season until another finale where we're down to the final and then you see who made it. That'd be interesting. I might actually see
that.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yep. And then everyone's active and it's involved all week.
I mean, that would keep people.
Throughout the season.
That would keep people really interested and keep people involved during the commercial breaks and.
Yep.
And yeah, tweet that to them. I mean, you never know when your ideas are going to be picked up. I've talked to people who have sent ideas in and actually had them selected. And also,
yeah.
You just don't know when,
yeah,
you know, an idea could be taken, you know, seriously and be picked up and ran with.
Yeah.
Because they obviously are, whether it be Jeff personally or, you know, a team of people from CBS, they obviously knew from Twitter and the internet and social media that there was a lot of controversy this year. So, you know, they're reading those things.
Oh, yeah. Jeff tweets, you know, during the show every, you know, for every show, and he stays pretty connected to what's, you know, the fan base out here. He stays very connected. And he knows what's going on.
I do miss his tout, though. I missed his tout thing that he had going on, the tout living room or whatever.
Yeah. It was nice to see that Mark Burnett shaved his beard.
Did they show that? I did not see that. Did Burnett shave his beard?
Yes,
I didn't see
did.
That. Was that on Twitter or something? Or?
I saw it on Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight, yeah. They showed
it. Did he trim it or did he shave it all the way off?
He shaved it totally off. He's clean
the
shaven
other thing,
now.
The other Survivor-related piece, and it was at the end of Entertainment Tonight, they showed, and we didn't talk about this, but when Mike won,
tackling
when
him.
Mike won, when Mike won and ran out to his mom, it was like, oh my God, he's going to knock her over.
And he said, you know, thank God I caught her. You know, that would have been terrible if I would have, you know, knocked her down on national TV.
Yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen.
He was just so happy. He ran straight for her, and he gave her, like, the biggest hug. He almost knocked her down. But he grabbed hold of her and held on to her. And, so he did almost knock her down, but he had a hold of her.
Yeah, she made it through, so.
The Entertainment Tonight, he said to them, he says, yeah, he said, I'm glad I had a hold of her. He said, it would have been horrible if I'd have knocked my mom down on national TV.
That wouldn't have been good, so I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, But great finale, and then at the after party, like I said, almost everyone that didn't make it were there, so there were a lot of handshakes and hugs and pats on the back, and, you know, next time we'll see you there. So it was tough.
How soon after the finale ended did they have the after party? Did they have any time to decompress?
A little bit, but... Actually, we were one of the first ones to get to the party, and by then there were, like, six of them there. So I think some of them wanted to get right to the bar to drink. Some people, like Shane and Teresa, weren't even at the party. And some were and some weren't. So it was interesting.
And the interview that Mike gave to... I think this is Entertainment Weekly. He mentioned, they asked him about the speech that Jen gave during the final tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said that, he said, I prayed that God would give me my Spencer and for her and Sharon to stand up for me and fight for me in the end almost means more than the check. He said it doesn't mean more than the title, but it definitely means more than the check.
Awesome. So that's great.
He's very, very pleased with both Jen's and Sharon's speech at the final tribal council.
And that really redeemed her to me, so that was awesome to see.
Yeah.
That's great. That's good. I'm glad you saw that, Cherry. That is awesome.
Yeah, he gave a pretty good interview. I've looked around and tried to kind of find, you know, some of the things that they talked about. And he was very glad that things, you know, kind of smoothed over between him and Rodney. Him and Rodney apparently spent a lot of time together at, you know, after the finale, after everything ended last night.
Yeah.
They asked him if he had slept at all, and he said, yeah, me and Rodney cuddled for about an hour and a half last night.
That sounds about right. There was not much sleep before those exit interviews, because that party shut down about 2, and then they were doing interviews at 6.
They showed the amazing thing. They showed a short clip of the blue collars all standing at the premiere episode, all the blue collars standing, you know, on their mat. And I've already forgotten her name, the blonde.
Sierra.
No. The short one. Yes, Kelly. Excuse me. She said, "All you know, the winner is going to come from this mat." And I saw this guy standing behind her and thought, I don't even remember that guy. And I looked at it again. I go, holy crap, that's Mike. I mean, he no beard and so much more weight in his face. I mean, by last night's reunion, he had gained back a lot of weight. But holy crap, did he look different at the start.
Well, very dramatic transformation. The water. Rodney lost 30 pounds. Mike probably lost 30 or 40. Dan lost over 40. Even Sierra lost 20-some pounds. So it's crazy.
It was a great season. I thought it was a really good season. I think that some of them are very sad that there was, you know, some of the controversy that happened in the season, and they don't want season 30 to be remembered for that controversy.
Yeah,
right.
I
agree with you, Cherry. I enjoyed this season, and I can't say that in the first few weeks I was going to enjoy it. It seemed like it was starting off a little bit slow for me, but it turned out to be a great season in my opinion.
I really enjoyed this season a lot, and I can't wait for season 31 because we're going to know all the players as soon as the game starts. We don't have to have that initial, you know, getting to know the players and what they're about, because we already know them.
Yep.
And so it's going to be exciting from Jump Street, you know, as soon as it starts, to see how they're playing, what the twists are going to be, and how they're all going to interact, how they're going to, you know, set up the tribes, and
yes,
who's going to be playing together.
There's all kinds of things we don't know, so it'd be interesting to see how it's all going to come out and how they're going to divide it up.
I know, how they're going to divide it and who's going to be playing, you know, with each other and against each other. And
it could be men versus women. It could not be. There's all kinds of things that could happen.
Schoolyard pick.
As long as no one gets the boot, I support that. But yeah, great season. I think we've had some amazing guests, and it's been
absolutely
a lot of fun this season. It's gonna be crazy not doing it for a while, but I tried to get where are they now? Final episode next week if we can. I'll reach out to the cast and see who wants to talk.
That'd be awesome.
We'll plan on doing a Mike and the Mike finale show next week, next Thursday, and wrap the season up next week. And
all right.
I hope that you have a lot of fun on your final days out there in L.A. and have safe travels coming home.
I hope I have a great, easy way out or way back, because I did out. So.
Oh, I certainly hope so. It sounds like you had a really easy trip going out there.
Oh, it was great.
So, I wish they all were that simple, you know?
Me too. Me too.
Well, Mike, it's been a blast having you on live from L.A., and I'm glad we were able to grab Rodney for a few minutes and talk with him.
Yep.
And recap the season finale and the second chance winners and talk about everything tonight. It's been fun. I know you're sort of in a precarious situation out there at the hotel, so we won't keep you any longer.
Thank you so much. Bar and lobby are four people right now.
And thanks for you, Chad, for calling and joining us again tonight.
Yeah,
no problem.
You,
I missed you guys.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you call in with us, Chad.
Yeah, I've been closing work for the last few Thursdays, and it's just been rough. So
yeah,
wow. I'm glad you could make it tonight.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it up for tonight. I hope everybody remembers to join us on Monday for the Manic Monday show at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. With Sean Costa from Big Brother Season 10. We're going to close tonight's show with Rod, as we always do. Everybody have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. Be kind to each other. Take care. Barbecue hearty. Here's Ron to take us out. Take care, everybody. Good night.
So, thank you guys for stopping in. I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. But, you know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality of people that, you know, I do this for you guys. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And I appreciate everyone. I want to finish off with a song. I really felt like it was a great show, and I really do appreciate everyone that did listen, and everyone who called in. Thank you. Love you guys.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Come back Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So check it out. Don't forget Michelle Costa. We never know who else is going to show up. I'm just going to say have a good night. Love you guys.
one thing I do want to mention before we close, everyone knows that this show was originally started by Ron Radkowitz, and his niece, Jordan, has asked me to ask our listeners to please keep her in your prayers for next weekend. I won't go into details as to why, but just please keep Jordan in your prayers for next weekend. Most of our listeners know Jordan, and she's just a sweetheart. She calls in from time to time. So I'm asking our listeners to please keep Jordan in your prayers for next weekend. Everybody take care and have a great Memorial Day weekend. Guys, say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. That's a wrap.